The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know what you do, but there's no magic pill. It's like I've had a bad back all my life because I have thin hips.
See, I've never heard thin and fat hips before.
Time!
Relax, just do what we talked about, huh? Don't even look at the green. Make contact with the ball. There's no goalie out there to block it. Remember, it's all in the hip. Hey.
All I could think about was the hips and back thing.
Fat hips? Thin hips? How does that work? Is it the width?
It's all in, come on. Work with me now. It's all in the hips. Yeah, it's all in the hips.
What does that mean? Thin from what? Thin from like the pelvis? Like, I'm trying to figure out what is thin.
It's all in the hips.
Get off of me.
Hey, just easing the tension, baby.
And my kids can go to hell, but I still wear 36 jeans.
Just easing the tension.
Well, ease it on someone else.
That means I have thin hips.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's
Did you catch any hell for that yesterday, big guy? Any of your kids hear you ranting, cursing them out on the radio?
No, they don't care. That's their story, Gabe, and they're sticking to it. If Andy Reid said it, tracking to be one of the best coaches in the NFL, then it's got to be true. That's what I live by probably right now.
Well, I mean,
is that fair?
So you're living by if a future Hall of Fame, because Andy Reid's a future Hall of Famer at this point.
Oh, he's a lock.
If a future Hall of Fame coach told you, then it must be the truth.
Yes.
That's what we're living by.
I mean, is that fair?
I mean, when it comes to football stuff, I mean, I haven't heard of Andy Reid's takes.
Your back is so important when it comes to playing football.
That's true.
You got to roll the hips.
You know, I guess in this particular instance, I think you're right. You may have to rely on Andy again. But I think the issue Jen and I had yesterday was we don't know what that means. We don't know what the definition of thin or wide hips is.
Look at Andy Reid's hips and look at mine.
Okay.
Big difference.
Yeah, there's a big body composition difference, though, as well.
Yes, I'm long and lean. He's short and squatty. He was saying basically short and squatty guys, I mean, there are a few exceptions to the rule, do not have back problems.
Because their hips are wide.
Yes.
All right.
Think about it. If you know, it's all like a building, right?
Yeah, okay.
I don't trust tall, thin buildings. I get a little scared when I'm going up in an elevator 80 floors. I'm a little scared, right? How many town halls you see blow down? Not a lot. Not a lot. Look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Thin hips. Thin hips.
I love how this has gone from a human to an architectural take in the matter of 3 minutes.
Humans are an architectural beauty from God, really, for most people.
When you think about it, people and buildings are basically the same thing. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Yes.
Does this apply to the animal kingdom? Do we think animals like a moose, for instance?
A moose doesn't have a bad back.
I can tell you who's got a bad neck. Horrible neck.
Giraffe.
The giraffe?
Giraffe. Bad neck. A lot of herniated
discs
back,
there.
Their back's probably okay. It's proportioned very well.
Elephants, great
hippopotamus?
Backs.
Gabe, hippopotamus, no back problems. Knee problems.
I don't know if they have.
Ankle.
Yeah, maybe ankle. I mean, the knees, I mean, everything, it's pretty stout in there. There's no length. There's no length to those legs whatsoever. They can still scoot, though. Again, if you want to talk about hippopotamuses, they are murder machines. Avoid them at all costs. Big hippo wants to make you think they're cute. They're not.
Alligators? Hamstring problems all the way.
What? They famously have the smallest little legs.
I know, but they can't go side. You know how you run away from an alligator, Joshy?
Go to the left or right?
You run side to side.
A little zigzag.
It's like Christian Watson. Alligators, if you run straight, that thing's getting you. Any kind of cut, forget it. You're going to Minnesota getting your hamstrings checked.
So some people may be having a bad morning, understandably so. Here in Milwaukee, we did not get really any snow, at least on the east side where I live and then into downtown. Joshy, I don't think where you're at down in Bayview, didn't really have anything down there. So I don't really know where the band of snow started. Looked like you had a couple inches out by Uchu.
Yep.
But, you know, dealing with snow in early April is going to be a bad start to anybody's day. But I don't think anybody had a worse start to the day today, Chewy, than your wife.
Yes. Yes. So I woke up, and I have an inner clock where I wake up anywhere from 33 to 38 every morning.
Makes sense.
And I woke up out of a Packer dream. Good dream.
Packer
38.
Dream?
Yeah.
Lambeau leaping, scoring touchdowns?
No, I was going to go defense.
Okay.
We can get to that later on.
Okay.
Which I was very excited about, by the way. So I come downstairs, and you know how you come out of REM sleep and you're still just like foggy?
Mm-hmm.
So I go down, start to make my coffee, and she's just like, "You're never going to believe what happened last night." And I said, "Is it true they signed me to play defense?" She said, "No." She said she took out her retainer. Very good girl, wearing her retainer at her age, which is young. And
kick save would be you.
Great save.
There was a tooth in it.
What?
So I'm still half asleep.
Okay.
I'm like, God, is this part of the dream? Because Brett was in the dream, Mississippi tooth. And she goes, I pulled out my retainer. And my far back molar was lodged in my retainer. And I'm like, without pain?
Wait, so, I mean, I had, wouldn't that hurt? Wouldn't you be, struggle to take out the retainer? Was it a smooth transition just to, I popped out and now here's a tooth? Because I would think if a molar is popping out with your retainer, there's got to be a bit of a struggle.
Totally
as you're taking it
agree.
Out, and then you just kind of rip it, and then the tooth comes with. That's one strong retainer.
Yeah, but Gabe, and I thought of it this morning as we went on and on. It's kind of coming out. Is this a dream, or is this reality? So I'm sitting in here on the phone with you guys, and I'm like, you know what it is? She got her blood work back from her yearly physical.
Okay.
And my wife and her side of the family love sugar. They dominate sugar.
Sure.
They crush sugar. So she gets her blood work back yesterday, and it's like, oh, my God. She said, I can't believe that the one perfect thing in your blood work is your sugar is absolutely perfect. It's where it should be. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Genetics too, are a hell of a thing.
I eat a piece of beef jerky, and my cholesterol goes up to about 230. This is karma. Total karma. It doesn't affect your blood, but obviously it's affecting the teeth. So then she's like, God, do I fly back home to see the dentist? I'm like, well, and she didn't have wisdom teeth.
Okay.
So I'm like, there's really nothing. It's like a wisdom tooth. They're not going to replace it. It's the far back one. You just keep it clean. I said, just go to a dentist here. And she laughed. She's like, there's no way in hell I'm going to a dentist in Florida.
What's wrong with
the healthcare down here is terrible. You can get your concealed carry and your dental license on the same day. It just takes 4 hours. So if I was really to become a doctor, I would do it down here.
You would do it down there.
Yeah.
I mean, and after the diagnosis you were just giving of animals, I think you could become a veterinarian down there as well.
Yeah, that's a whole other class, though. That's a driving class and veterinary license.
Okay, sure.
So, you know, we have a couple friends that are dentists and oral surgeons. I don't think it's a big deal. I already diagnosed her. I said, just treat it like a wisdom tooth, irrigate it. Keep it free of food. When you brush, make sure you get in the little hole.
Well, I mean,
and you'll be good to go.
Again, I'm not an expert on the whole teeth falling out thing, but I would think did the entire tooth come out, like with the root and all, or is there still some of the root in there? I would imagine that, yeah, for a little bit you'd be okay, but eventually you would actually want a dentist to remove the rest of that root, would you not?
Yeah, I think the root's still in there. Which is a little outside my scope.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's fine that it's in there. I would assume that eventually you would want that out. Like that would make it easier to keep it clean if everything was out of there.
So she should probably make a call then, right?
Probably. Yeah, I think that would be the safe thing to do. I mean, if you're losing a tooth. Is she ever going to put the retainer on again?
I think she's got to get the tooth out first.
As I say, is the tooth still lodged in that sucker?
It's still in there. Yeah. Never heard of it. No pain, no nothing. Just came right out. So,
that's wild to me that it just popped right out. With, 'cause again, like you start dealing with tooth pain. Like tooth pain is the worst pain, some of the worst pain you can have.
Yeah.
And it just, boop, no problem. Just kind of came right out. I think you're right, too, in that like they probably would replace it.
Do wisdom teeth have a root? I mean, I've had all four of mine taken out.
I don't know. I like your wife, too, I have not had wisdom teeth. I don't have them.
Really?
I would presume they do. It's kind of how teeth work.
Yeah, but isn't that why they come out? Because there's no root?
I mean, they have to be forcefully removed.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting you under.
I was eating 10 minutes after I had mine out. The worst thing is I had mine got infected in college, and there was a flap. So the skin grew over the tooth, and they were infected.
Ugh.
So instead of taking them out, because it was like a Friday, and I had to play on a Sunday,
sure,
because this is college, and they don't give a crap, they took coils and burned the skin off.
Ho!
Oh, the smell.
Ho!
The smell, Gabe.
Also, wisdom teeth do have roots. They have sometimes two to three, sometimes many more. I'm now being driven back to a picture of one of my friends had them removed, and they were like pointing in all directions. They got crazy roots.
Is that why you got to take them out? Because like the roots affects the other
teeth? They push your teeth like when they come in.
Yeah.
They cause pain, move them around, things of that nature.
So they burned off the skin around
them? Yeah, it was gross. It was gross. But I played.
Well, I assumed that much. Did they at least gave you some local anesthetic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, it was just the smell you were dealing with. It smelled horrible.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Cannot imagine.
It's like a uvula. It's weird. I mean, it was flappy. I mean, no one brushes real good in college. Tell the you know, you run out of toothpaste, you're not going to the store for 3-4 days.
Chef Ed chimes in on the talking text line 800-990-3776 saying she does need to see a dentist to snip off the nerve endings to avoid infection.
Okay, thanks, Chef Ed. Everyone but a dentist calls in.
Oh, man, right? Yeah, well, I'm sure everybody's had or known somebody that maybe this has happened to. This is wild to me. That the no pain thing is the thing that freaks me out the most.
See, tooth pain doesn't bother me at all. I kind of enjoy it. You know?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I think you kind of do, Gabe.
What do you mean by I
like
kind of
enjoy it?
Like
salt on a canker sore really doesn't bother me. I keep going back for more and more.
Okay.
And I told you when we played for the Packers, because you're wearing a mouth. I didn't wear a mouthpiece, actually. But
yeah.
Football's kind of disgusting. They would take poison and kill ours, so it was gone like that. I think it's silver nitrate. Which will kill you.
Okay,
but for
sure.
For some reason, they can put it on a canker sore. And it cures it like that.
And
ever heard of that?
I have not heard of that, but that is something that you enjoyed them fixing.
It doesn't really hurt with silver nitrate.
Okay.
With salt, we've all done salt.
Oh, yeah, because
right?
The salt is supposed to, kind of cure it a little bit or whatever. But yeah, there's a little bit of pain.
Yeah, silver nitrate, nothing. I don't think you can buy that over the counter.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it is something.
No.
You know, because, I mean, they do that to help kind of stop bleeding on cuts. And, yeah, it's pretty potent, I would think.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay.
Like, when I sliced off, because I was using the mandolin and I sliced off a little part of my finger, that's what they use to kind of get the bleeding to stop, is they use some silver
really?
Nitrate. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I just couldn't get it to stop bleeding. It was... I just couldn't get it to stop. Well, understandably so. I was missing a
well, when you
tip
almost
of my
cut
finger.
Off your finger. Yeah. They probably should have stitched it back on.
Well, I mean, it was not there.
Your finger wasn't?
Well, I mean, it was just a little piece of my finger. And you could kind of tell if I put my two index fingers like next to each other. You'd be like, oh, yeah, sure.
One's wide right.
Yeah, there's one that's missing a little piece of it. But yeah, I mean, that wasn't, I mean, you're not stitching that back on. It was such a thin piece of skin.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of get it to stop, wrap it up, and you're fine.
Wow, this is a weird start.
This is really a weird start to this. Maybe we're showing a lack of professionalism. Apparently, when on the road, Doc Rivers thinks the Bucks show a lack of professionalism. We'll hear those quotes and see what Chewy has to say about that. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Ugly loss last night for the Milwaukee Bucks on the road to the lowly Washington Wizards. 117-113. Giannis, you know, if he was Chewy, might say, hey, I got my guy. Because he had a triple-double. He had 35 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. But the Bucks fall by 4 points in Washington. Wizards now have 15 wins. And it was after the game that I think drew the most, maybe, eyebrow-raising. Oh, I wonder what Doc Rivers means by this. Because here's what Doc had to say about his team following the Bucks' loss.
I don't know. I think focus. I don't know what it is. You know, it's funny. I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. And I've made a lot of notes. I will say that. I won't share that. But we don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. And that's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
Lack of professionalism on the road. And he would go on to say that wasn't just the team, that was the coaching staff, that was, you know, people in the, you know, traveling area that also are on these trips. It just, you know, from the top on down for the Milwaukee Bucks. When you hear that, Chew, what do you hear?
Well, I wanted... You know, because I have my thoughts, but I wanted Joshy to look up the definition of professionalism. Joshy, can you give it to us?
Yeah, I've got it right here in front of me. Professionalism is a set of standards that an individual is expected to adhere to in a workplace, usually in order to appear serious, uniform, or respectful.
Okay, so I won. Put part of the blame on Doc Rivers, and I put part of it on Giannis and Brooke Lopez. And Chris Middleton, because when we traveled, when I was with the Packers, there were guidelines that we had to follow, which probably fell under professionalism. And that goes to dress. That's how to conduct yourself on a plane when it comes to stewardesses and stewards, hotel personnel. There is absolutely no family around the day of the game. So Sunday morning, you're not allowed to see your family. You're not allowed to see anyone. So to me, yes, it is fixable. But for an organization that is considered one of the best in all of the NBA, it's kind of shocking.
Well, especially for a veteran group, right? Like if...
Yes.
If last year the Packers or this year the Milwaukee Brewers, like if a story came out where Pat Murphy's like, yeah, we just got to learn to be professionals on the road because they're so young. Or if Matt LaFleur at one point, hey, we got to be professionals on the road because I mean they were the youngest team in the NFL. I mean, the Bucks have to have one of the older rosters in the NBA. I mean, Green, Beauchamp, Andre Jackson, I mean, that's about it. They don't have a ton of young guys that are playing on a regular basis. That's the shocking part here to meet you.
Yeah. I mean, dress is fixable, right?
Sure.
Dress code is a dress code is a dress code. No, you're wearing a suit. You're wearing this. Music. Music's a part of it. You want to listen to music? You put headphones on.
Okay.
Right? It's more of like treating wherever you're going to as a business trip. You treat everyone with respect. To me, it sounds like that's gone a little bit by the wayside.
Yeah.
Because we've had instances like, I mean, Gabe, we've told the Andre Rison story a bunch. Now, Andre had only been with us for about 2-3 weeks.
Well, okay.
But
with the Andre story, you go ahead and just tell the Andre story. Because I would imagine, I guess you wouldn't know, you never played for another team other than the Packers. But I would assume that wearing a shirt was a part of the dress code for all 30 NFL teams, 32 now. But
yes.
What happened with Andre?
Well, Andre, the stewardess went up to Mike Holmgren and said, Coach, one of your players back there isn't wearing a shirt. Which the funniest thing about it, Gabe, Holmgren really wasn't surprised. Really wasn't surprised. Now, I would be surprised, right?
Sure.
You'd be like, what?
Yeah, because...
Now, he wasn't surprised, but what's going through his mind was, okay, it's one of five people. Which one's it going to be? And it turned out to be Andre. And I remember it like it was yesterday because
well,
Andre
who are the other
new
four?
To the team.
Quickly.
Wayne Simmons.
Okay.
Was probably one. Ross Verba, I'm sure, was probably on that list.
Shout out to Ross.
Guys who were a few sandwiches short of a picnic. So Andre, we flew in an A-10-11, which there's first class, cabin, coach, cabin, coach. So most of the guys sat from the back cabin to the back of the plane.
Okay.
Now a new guy has to find a seat because it was two players in three seats. The middle seat was always open. So Andre was like past the middle cabin in the middle part of coach against the window because he was new to the team. He really didn't know a lot of guys. And so that was up by like the trainers, the sports information department, the wives, the announcers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was hot, and he decided not to wear a shirt. But he didn't know that was part of the dress code because Holmgren asked him, Andre, why are you different than everyone else on this plane? And Andre had to pause and think a little bit. And it took him like 5 seconds to go, oh, I'm not wearing a shirt? He's like, yeah. And Holmgren was like, yay, you nailed it. So, yes, that's professionalism.
Yeah.
My guess is it's like with the Bucs team, he just doesn't.
So Justin texts in, pretty clear this team gets up for the good teams, doesn't get up for the bad teams, been a theme for a while. So, I mean, the Wizards are one of the worst teams in the league. Is it as simple as preparing the right way even though you're playing a bad team?
Yes, and I've told you, I fell into that trap. Only one time in my life we were playing Philadelphia at home, a night game. And they were not very good. They were kind of bottom third of the league. And for whatever reason, I mean, I took my same supplements. Just mentally, I wasn't quite where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And the play on the field reflected that. The only other time I could tell the team wasn't, or at least the defense wasn't ready to play, Gabe, is when we lost that game in Indy when Indy was like, 1-13.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like right here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in my career, I only felt a game like that one time. And I agree with Justin, the texter, that this is too much of a pattern here. You shouldn't be losing games like this.
Just quickly out of curiosity before we get to Adam Schefter, because I agree with that. And I am a little concerned, but we need to get to Schefty. Just a quick question for you, bud.
Yeah.
Where does bribing the hotel security guard the week of the Super Bowl so you guys can sneak out fit under professionalism?
See, that falls in a different area because we felt, and it's good awareness by me, Brett, and Frank, that we needed to blow a little steam off.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair.
And it's
fair.
Better to blow the steam off a week before the game than 2 or 3 days before the game.
Right.
So that was kind of a good pivot on our part,
sure.
I thought.
All right, hey.
He still didn't answer the question.
Good pivot by you during the Super Bowl. Good pivot by you right now. We get to Adam Schefter as he joins us. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Yeah, Adam, we have some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Love talking with our guy, Adam Schefter, every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Gabe and Chewy. I see Jen's taking another week off, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. She had a story she's working on down in Texas today. I think she just was able to leave. I mean, it was kind of touch and go here with the weather in Wisconsin. Some areas like Madison, not that far, obviously, from Milwaukee, got dumped on with snow. We were fortunate to miss a lot of the snow right now in Milwaukee, so I think she did get out to Texas to go work on her story.
So you guys got snow right now, because it's been raining here in New York for about three straight days. It's been just horrendous weather. So it's snowing there?
Right now it's kind of that wintry, slushy mix. But yeah, like yesterday all day for opening day, for the home opener for the Brewers, it was miserable. It was just like raining sideways, cold rain. Yeah, just terrible. Sounds like you guys are dealing with the same thing up there.
Yeah, it's been unpleasant, and it feels like we're living in Seattle.
100%. Like, I can't tell you the last time I saw the sun. I would kill for the sun right now. Just a little bit, just a little bit of vitamin D. Yeah, okay, Chewy. Yeah, you're down in Florida, right? Nobody cares. All right, nobody cares. Is this
where in Florida, Chewy?
St. Pete. Very lush. It's supposed to be 80-ish today.
Oh, poor baby.
Playing golf. Playing golf.
I don't play anymore. That's a lot of work, no. Adam. And I have thin hips. I have thin hips and a bad back. That was a discussion and.
Yeah, okay, so Adam, you've been around the NFL for a long time. Chewy dropped this on us yesterday. It's the first time we ever heard it. When he told us that if you have thin hips, you're going to have back issues, but if you have wide hips, you're not going to have back issues.
I didn't say it. Andy Reid told me, because I had a bad back throughout my career. Andy Reid said, hey, you have thin hips, you're going to have a bad back. He said, big guys don't have typically bad backs. That's what he said.
Have you heard that?
I've never heard that before. I can understand the reasoning. Look, I'm not going to question Chewy's toughness. He says he's got a bad back. He's got a bad back. You know, that's the way it is, right? Like, his golf outings are limited because of it. That's the way it goes. His golf career is curtailed. It's unfortunate.
I'm not questioning his toughness. Like, Chewy is the toughest guy on the panel, without a doubt. I'm questioning the reasoning behind why he has to be tough. That's the part that I've never heard of. Oh, thin hips, wide hips, bad back, good back. Those are the things that didn't make sense to me. I just think playing tight end in the NFL for close to a decade can lead to a bad back.
Yeah, but I think it's a respect thing for Andy Reid, because he's going to be considered, at the end of the day, one of the best head coaches to ever coach the game. And I think we're at the point with whatever Andy Reid says now, it's got to be true.
No argument for me there.
Okay, no, thank you. Adam.
I bought what Andy's selling. Yep.
Yeah. Adam, we are talking about Caitlin Clark on Monday because GetUp, some of the guys, I believe it was GetUp, said that she cannot be considered the GOAT unless she wins a championship. So I went to Tom Brady because I agree with them. In order to be considered the GOAT. If Tom Brady, who is not the most athletic quarterback to ever play the game, probably doesn't have the best numbers to play the game, but because he won seven Super Bowls, is considered the GOAT. If Tom Brady had won two Super Bowls, he's not the GOAT. And I think that carries over to Caitlin Clark. She has to win something spectacular in order to be considered the GOAT of women's basketball.
Well, I think if you're having the conversation about the greatest of all time in any particular sport, the greatest of all time would be a continuous winner of some sorts. There would be stats, there would be numbers, there would be the resume, but that resume has to include some form of championships, right? We can go back over all the great all-time players. There are so many that stand out. Do we call Dan Marino, as great as he was, the GOAT? Do we call John Stockton or Karl Malone, as great as they were, the GOATs? Do we call some of these people who never won the GOATs? No, they're all-time athletes, but they're not GOATs, right? I mean, that's just part of it. To be the to be the greatest of all time, you have to prove it in your era. You have to be the best in your era. Your team has to be the best in your era. It all is connected, okay? And maybe it's just a championship, but at one point or another, you will have had to have come through to be the best in your sport in that season at that time. I don't need you to do it 7 times. That's unrealistic. But I need you to do it once, maybe twice, to be in that conversation, right? And we can go through all the list of all the great athletes. If you're that good, you find a way to win a championship in your respective sport. You just do. Is that wrong?
I think with her, because again, your college window is so short, right? Like, we're only talking about 4 years, and she's changed the game so much. Like,
I know, but Gabe, I brought up Tim Tebow, who won 2 Heismans and I think 2 national championships, right? Great college player, very, very average in the pros. He's not considered one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
In college, he is. He's one of the best college football players of all time.
Adam, you think so?
He's in a conversation amongst the great college players of all time. I think he's up there. I don't know, you know, I don't think we're thinking of him as the GOAT, the greatest quarterback who's ever played college football, but he's one of the great college football players in history. One of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's up there. And again, it's college because you bring up, we talk about Tom Brady. How many championships did Tom Brady win in college? You know, it's more about his pro career versus, and she's going to have an unbelievable WNBA career still ahead of her as well.
Yeah, but again, and not to diminish what she's done, she's incredible. Mm-hmm. But if you're that great, how can you go through college and not win any championships? Like, to me, you got to stamp that greatness in the GOAT conversation. Like, she's one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. I don't know. To me, it's those championships go a little bit of a ways towards establishing that GOAT status, you know. And it would also, and I, you know, what do I know about women's college basketball and the history of it, comparing her to Sue Bird or Deonna Taurasi or Rachel Lobo or whoever it is. Like, there have been so many great women's college basketball. I don't know the history of the sport to know how Caitlin Clark does or doesn't compare. We're in different eras, too. The sport has probably changed. I don't know if it's more competitive today than it was back then or not. I have no idea the answer to some of these questions. I just know that she's going to go down as one of the greatest college players of all time. But if she wants to be considered the greatest of all time, it's harder to make that argument if you don't have a championship, generally speaking, across other sports.
Getting back to the NFL, Adam, with the draft getting closer and closer, when is that second wave of free agency going to happen? I know it used to be June 1st because you actually had to release guys on June 1st. Now you have the designation, and guys like Russell Wilson get that designation but can still go from Denver and go sign his deal that he did in Pittsburgh. But there's still a lot of veterans out there that I think are going to be on rosters. When do we see kind of that second wave of free agency?
No, Gabe, this year is no different than any other year. Free agency is over, okay? It's over, okay? There are still some guys who are out there. There's no second wave. It's a wave, and the wave has come ashore and washed up. Now, there are some guys that are still out there. There are still some running backs like J.K. Dobbins and Dalvin Cook who are out there. There's some wide receivers, Michael Gallup, Odell Beckham Jr. But it's not like all of a sudden we're going to get to a Monday in a certain week and like, oh, here's the second wave of free agency. No, what will happen here is that leading up to the draft, oh, you'll hear about a signing here or a signing there. And a team will be going through and they'll say, oh, maybe, you know, we don't like the running back depth in this draft. Let's go add J.K. Dobbins right now. You know, maybe that gets done this week. And then, of course, there is a date in May, first or second week in May, where free agent signings no longer count against your compensatory draft pick formula. And inevitably, there's always 2, 3, 4, 5 free agents who sign then. But there's no second wave. The wave is over, and we're thankful for that, by the way. And we're on to the draft, and we're getting ready for the draft because I don't want any more waves of free agency. I want to get onto the draft here at this point in time.
Adam, I'm not sure whether you know this, but there's currently a fight between the Green Bay Packers and the city of Green Bay over the lease. Now, there's which Green Bay had started. They want a rent reduction, which has 9 years left on the lease. So the Packers were supposed to have an $80 million renovation done before they have the draft next year, which I'm sure they put in a package in front of the commissioner and said, look, we're going to do an $80 million renovation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is now off the table. Is it possible that the league goes in and says, okay, you know, you're not following through on what you promised. We're going to pull the draft for you and go somewhere else unless you do this $80 million renovation.
Well, here's the truth. I didn't know about an $80 million renovation that was proposed for Lambeau Field, so I'd have to ask that question. But would I be surprised if the league got involved and stepped in to get that renovated? No, I would not be. And could they do something like that? It would be a bit extreme, but yeah, I could see that happening. I'm not telling you that. I'd have to check before I give you any kind of meaningful answer. We're just talking right now. But yeah, like the league uses its powers, you know, to get cities to build stadiums so they can hold Super Bowls there. Like that, we've seen that happen. Okay, we're sending the draft your way. You're not doing what we're supposed to. We're going to move the draft. You know, we're going to move up the time. Like, it's not hard to do that. I don't think it's, you know, it's not a Super Bowl. It's a draft. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if the league felt that was within its powers, yeah. I mean, but I want to call and ask somebody that question. And have a more knowledgeable, informative, real answer for you before I give you. We're just talking off the top of my head here. And so, yeah, you know, last night I thought it was very interesting, and it hasn't generated a lot of discussion, but they voted in Kansas City to basically build the Royals a new stadium or redo that stadium and help redo Arrowhead, or GHEA, whatever it's called these days. I call it Arrowhead. And the voters turned it down 58% to 42%.
Oof, wow.
And so that was quite a statement there, that we're not going to pay for the public works to have the stadium done the way you want. Now, I had heard from a couple of people leading up to this vote that if the vote didn't pass, that the Chiefs would consider moving outside of Kansas City and leave. Like, there's always all this talk. Has anybody really followed up on it? Like, I guess Cleveland, the Browns left to go to Baltimore. That did happen, right? And
Chargers, Rams,
St. Louis, Arizona.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Urban teams. Now, could I see the Chiefs leave? That's hard for me to imagine. But,
yeah,
you know, teams don't take these decisions lightly. And, okay, the voters have spoken, and now the Chiefs get to speak. And so you're asking about not getting $80 million worth of renovations, and people, whoever is in charge of that, have spoken, and now the other side gets to speak, if there's anything to say. So I just think there's a flip side to these things, and I think the public, to a certain extent, you know, doesn't want to foot the bill for these things, and I understand that completely. That is their right, and it's hard to argue with their logic. But there are consequences sometimes that come along with that. So let's see what those consequences are in relation to the draft that's scheduled for Green Bay next year, and this stadium renovation that the Chiefs were counting on passing last night that got turned down by voters.
Shefty, before we let you go, we are in the middle of our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket, where we compiled grievances from a number of different areas of life, have them in a bracket. We're in our Sweet 16 right now. I know as much as you travel. Do you have any grievances? Are there any things that really bug you when you travel?
Oh God. First of all, it's a running joke amongst my friends that I am the unluckiest traveler out there, okay? Like, it is unbelievable the stuff that I go through. I mean, I could just tell you a story. A few weeks back, it was the week before free agency, so Saturday, March 8th, I believe, was that Saturday. My college friends and I, the first one of us was having their first there was a wedding amongst my friends for their children. It was the first wedding for one of our college friend's children. That's the best way of saying it. I was having a hard time enunciating that. And so my wife and I were supposed to go to Florida on Friday, except our dog, one of our five dogs, tore his ACL and was diagnosed with cancer, oh. and he could barely walk. My wife wasn't leaving the dog, and I understood that. And so she didn't want to go, and she was going to stay home with him. And I'm like, well, I'm not going Friday to the rehearsal dinner when you're home. And I was just gone in Indianapolis for a week and I have to go to Bristol, Connecticut next week for free agency. So I'm going to stay home with you Friday. I'll go Saturday morning to the wedding, 6 o'clock Saturday night. So I get to LaGuardia Airport, 7:20. I get an email from the airline that the flight has been delayed from 9 to 9:33, 33 minutes.
All right, not a big deal.
I happen to be walking past an airport lounge at that moment. So I'm like, okay, let me duck in here, make a couple of free agent calls. I go make a couple of calls in a little quieter area. I leave the lounge. I go to the gate at 8:50. I walk up to the gate at 8:50. There's a couple walking up right behind me. We notice there's nobody in the gate area and the door is closed. And I go to the gate attendant. I go, what's going on? When's the flight leaving? And she goes, it just left. I'm like, what do you mean it just left? She goes, the air traffic control cleared the flight and it left on time. I'm like, on time? It left early. Like, it's supposed to leave at 9. It's 8:50. I can't get through that door right now. She said, no, sir. The door is closed. The couple behind me is flipping out, too. She goes, well, there's another flight at 10:40. You're not going to let us on this flight? No, we're not. Okay, 10:40. She books us on the next flight. I'm sitting in the gate. They announce the 10:40 is delayed till 12:40. At 11:30, they announce the gate has changed. I go to a new gate. The plane hasn't left from Atlanta yet. It's now 1 o'clock. I now change airlines. I book another ticket on another airplane at 1 o'clock. Mechanical issue, 148. At 2:30, after 7 or 8 hours in the airport and three ticketed flights, I left and went home. I never made it to the wait. All because, and again, maybe it's my fault. She's like, you should have been in the gate area for the delay. I'm like, I've traveled for my entire life, 50 years, yeah. 50 plus years, okay? I've never gotten in a notice that a plane is delayed and it left on time. Has it ever happened to you? And by the way, not only that, but have you ever gotten a notice that the plane is delayed and then they haven't followed up with another email or text to say,
I know,
plane's back on schedule?
I bet I could name the airline.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Southwest. They do it all the time.
That was not the airline.
Oh.
That was not the airline.
Yeah. I had one delayed, Adam, 4 hours. They said it's delayed 4 hours, and we had a service driving us to the airport, which we obviously had to change. At the end of the day, it went back to being on time.
Yeah.
And we missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never I was so pissed off about this whole thing.
Sure.
And they were so like indifferent. Like, again, I heard somebody complaining about a travel experience. Aren't we in the customer service industry? Like,
yeah,
they screwed me. I felt screwed. I felt like I was wronged.
All right, next question, Adam.
Yeah.
Did you really want to go?
Well, did I want? Yes and no. Yes and no. I did want to go.
Sounds like a Chewy answer.
Yeah.
Well, no, I did want to go, but I also was like, it's right before free agency. Like, and by the way, my sister who was there texted me the next morning. I had a 9 a.m. flight back on Sunday morning because I was going in, you know, in and then coming right back because I had to go right to Bristol for the next week. She's like, your flight back at 9 a.m. was delayed to 1:15.
Oof.
I'm like, wasn't meant to be, like, you know, it just wasn't meant to be, right? Like, so yes, I wanted to go. I didn't love the timing of it, Chewy, but that was the deal, right? So I sent my gift and missed the wedding, missed the first wedding of my college friend's children.
Shefty, we always appreciate the time, buddy. Can't wait to talk to you again next week.
Make sure not to acknowledge those emails from airlines about delays. Just go to your gate. Yes, you get on time.
Just sit there. Just make sure you're at the gate, just in case.
Get to your gate on time, okay?
Appreciate it, Schefter. We got this text here from Matthew on the talking text line. Schefty is the anti-Jen in the airport because Jen, famously a couple of weeks ago, booked a flight and a connecting flight that you're not able to book. And she landed in the Atlanta airport. They got in a little bit early, and she got to the flight. Because initially, the way she had booked it, the flight that was supposed to land, the other plane was going to be closing its gates when she was landing. Got in early, somehow got to that flight so she could get to her vacation on time. It was unbelievable. Sounds like the anti, yes, the anti-Shefty here. Of course, our conversations with Adam Schefter, always brought to you by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino, your total experience. It includes two championship golf courses, which I can vouch for. Fantastic golf courses up there in the UP. Stay and play packages are available. Book early to guarantee the best dates. For complete information, visit islandresortgolf.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy bracket rolls on. We are in the Sweet 16. Have a little catching up to do by the end of the week, which we'll do. Didn't do any of these matchups yesterday with us being out at AmFam Field for the Brewers' home opener, which was so much fun, by the way, despite the weather being not great. It was cool being at the stadium. I had fun then doing the show from noon until 2 with our friends at Herd Hospitality at the tailgate house. It was a little chilly, but it was all good. Brewers came home with the victory. They're now 4-0. But the matchups we have, and we're unveiling right now, we go to our public region for the Sweet 16 matchups, Chewy, where we have speakerphone everywhere. The person who's speaking, again, with the speakerphone on, wherever they are in public, doesn't matter where, taking on walking three wide, whether that's on the sidewalk, whether that's in the airport, but people walking three wide. I think this is an easy matchup. I think speakerphone everywhere walks right into the Elite Eight.
Had it in the gym again yesterday. Conducting business while working out, so annoying.
Wait, how do you, what, are they doing a leg press while they're on the speakerphone? How are you in the gym working out?
Exactly. Extensions, leg curls, with the phone up to their mouth on speakerphone. Are these people just jag bags, or
yes,
are they just oblivious to what is going on?
I mean, little from column A, little from column B.
I think they're jag bags.
Oh, no, they're definitely jag bags, but they also have no idea what's going on around them, which in turn makes them jag bags.
All right. Self-awareness. Is that a lack of professionalism? There you go, Gabe.
Very, very much a lack of professionalism,
yes.
Chewy.
Yes.
The other one is the 2 seed, cutting in line, taking on the one that I am going to be voting for, Shoes Off Anywhere.
Yes, I think Shoes Off. I think Shoes Off Anywhere versus the cell phone is going to be a very good one.
Yeah,
that's must-watch radio.
That's what I'm keeping an eye on for in the Elite Eight matchups that are going to be coming out and coming your way, hopefully, tomorrow. But those are up right now on our poll at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. Speakerphone everywhere taking on Walking Three Wide. Cutting in line versus Shoes Off Anywhere in our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance brackets. We dive back into a little bit of the Green Bay Packers because Matt LaFleur appeared on a podcast yesterday that was released yesterday, and he had some thoughts on the biggest difference between last year and this upcoming year. We hear that in 2 minutes. Jen Gabe and Chewy.